I wonder if you've ever watched a movie that you've been hanging out for, you know, simply ages. And finally it's out, the date is set, the popcorn's ready, you invited a few friends around to watch it with you. Anticipation is high. As you settle down to watch, the opening scene starts to roll and there's a great storyline, and all through the movie there's lots of action, you know, things blowing up all over the place, unexpected heroes coming to the fore. And you sit mesmerized for 2 hours, riveted to the screen. As the climax of the story approaches, you're barely holding on, and then nothing. What? Is that it? Is that all there is? What a disappointing ending. I've watched a few movies like that, and I suspect you have too. Now, I know you're sitting there wondering, well, what's all this got to do with Easter Sunday? Isn't this a time of great rejoicing, of great celebration? What's disappointing about the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Well, yes, this morning we certainly do remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it is definitely a great story. I mean, Mark's account of the gospel is like a blockbuster movie. It's fast-paced, chock full of lots of great action, you know, Jesus teaching the crowds, healings and so on. And then you get to the end, and there's no way around it. The ending of Mark's gospel is kind of disappointing. Oh, there's the resurrection and all that, but what now? Where do we go from here? This gospel that begins by announcing the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in Mark chapter 1, ends in fear and silence. So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. In the original account of Mark's gospel, there's no resurrection appearances. There is no final commissioning of the disciples. There is only confusion, fear, and silence. I mean, this is hardly the satisfying ending that we would hope for. After all, Jesus has been preparing his disciples for what was to come. You know, 3 times he had told them that he must undergo great suffering, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. After his transfiguration, when Jesus came down the mountain, he told Peter, James and John to tell no one what they had seen until after he had risen from the dead. Yet neither Peter, James nor John is now around to tell. When the hour of trial came, when Judas showed up in the garden to betray Jesus and the soldiers arrested him, all the disciples deserted him and fled. Now, Peter did show up at the courtyard of the high priest's house while Jesus was on trial, but when confronted as one who had been with Jesus, Peter emphatically denied knowing him. Not once, not twice, but 3 times. The women seemed to provide some hope. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome. They at least stand at a distance and witness the events of Jesus' crucifixion and death. They see the tomb where Jesus' body is laid. They come early on the first day of the week to perform one final act of service for Jesus, to anoint his body for burial. However, there's no body to be found. Instead, a young man dressed in a white robe greets them at the tomb with the news that Jesus has been raised, and then commissions them to go tell his disciples and Peter that he's going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him just as he told you. Throughout his ministry, Jesus has told his disciples and those that he has healed not to testify about him, knowing that their understanding of his mission was incomplete. And finally, the time for telling has come. The women are now commissioned to proclaim the good news that Jesus has been raised. And yet the angel's words fail to dispel the women's fear. Like the male disciples, the women flee, overcome with terror and amazement. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid, says Mark. And there Mark's gospel ends, shrouded in darkness and disillusionment. I mean, no wonder the scribes and interpreters throughout the ages have felt compelled to finish Mark's story for him. As you read through most modern translations of Mark chapter 16, you'll notice that there are 2 additional endings, a shorter one and a longer one. And commentators suggest that neither of these endings were actually penned by Mark, but rather by scribes who felt compelled to finish the story off, perhaps using material from Matthew's and Luke's accounts. You know, we want closure. We want an ending that ties up the loose ends in the story and brings it to a satisfying conclusion. And most of all, I guess we want a happy ending. We want to see Jesus. We want to touch him and rejoice with the disciples that he is alive. The risen Jesus does not appear in Mark, at least not in the original versions of Mark's account. We are simply left with the women in their fear and confusion. It's like the movie in my introduction. You know, after all the waiting, after all the anticipation, there is just disappointment. Don't you really hate that? You know, I like things to have conclusions. I like situations to be resolved, just like Nicky requires every piece of music to be resolved. The Gospel of Mark is just like that, like a great piece of music that doesn't get resolved. You know, like Schubert's Unfinished Symphony. But isn't that just like our story? Isn't this unfinished story closer to our actual experience of the world? In the real world, tensions are often unresolved. Loose ends are rarely all tied up. Our lives are full of unfinished stories. The opportunity we let pass by, the relationship that fell apart, the family member or friend who died far too young. And we try to find ways to make sense of our stories, to find an ending that satisfies. But every ending we fashion inevitably disappoints. Mark's gospel account is jarring in its realism. Yet despite its unsettled, unsatisfying ending, it creates anticipation and gives us reason to hope. Why? Because the tomb is empty. That's why. Because death could not hold Jesus down, and because the women have received the message, "Go tell his disciples and Peter that he's going ahead of you to Galilee, there you will see him just as he told you." Mark's story has given us every reason to believe that what Jesus promises will take place, because his word has already been fulfilled in many important ways. He suffered and died and was raised just as he foretold. Judas betraying him, the other disciples scattered, and Peter denied him three times, just as Jesus said it would happen. And there's every reason to believe that the rest of Jesus' promises will be fulfilled. Jesus will meet his disciples in Galilee, and the good news will be proclaimed. And I guess the women must have spoken eventually, after all. Otherwise, we wouldn't have this story that Mark tells. The gospel creates a momentum that drives beyond its ending and into the future. Not only has Jesus promised to meet his disciples in Galilee, he has also promised that one day he will send his angels to gather the elect from the ends of the earth. And so the story is not finished and will not be finished until Jesus returns. The life of faith, our life of faith, is lived between the resurrection and Jesus' return. The scriptures tell us that we walk by faith and not by sight, clinging to the promise that we will see the Lord despite the fear and confusion we often experience in our lives. So what might that look like for you? Throughout the many situations in life in which satisfying endings are nowhere in sight, what might that look like for you in the midst of the loss of a loved one, in the midst of a terminal cancer diagnosis, in the midst of a relationship that seems broken beyond repair, in the midst of a natural disaster, in the midst of a pandemic or any other kind of tragedy? Though we can and must do our best work for good, ultimately a satisfying ending can only come from outside of ourselves. Finally, our hope is that God will bring to completion the redemptive, reconciling work already begun in Jesus Christ, just as God has promised. And to him be all glory, honor, majesty, and power. Amen.